Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, 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 and welcome to the show. My name is Phil Armstrong, and for the next hour and a half, we're going to be talking about current events in line of Bible prophecy. I began to look at the news today, and the last 24 hours have been pretty active in the Middle East, and we're going to get to that also, and we're also going to get to various issues pertaining to the Haiti earthquake. And we're going to tread on light. We're going to tread pretty lightly around that. I don't think people should be calling it judgment from God right away. And what you got to realize is that the chickens come home to roost in certain ways. Things manifest themselves in certain ways. And one minute you're saying that that earthquake was judgment from God, and the next minute we're being judged. So you have to be careful about that, and we're going to cover that also. We here at Prophecy Zone want to wish you still a new year. It still is new. And to me, years fly, time flies so fast that we'll be saying Happy New Year again. If the Lord don't come by and get us, we'll be saying Happy New Year again. Time flies. I'm kidding you. I'm not kidding you. Time flies. There have been, since I've been, I got out the military in 2007, but I also, I was in the reserves, and I went over to Kuwait and Qatar. And there have been how many Super Bowls? Five Super Bowls. And I cannot tell you right now, it might be due to aspartame and diet soda, which makes our memory go. I can't tell you. If I stop for about an hour, I can probably tell you who won two of those Super Bowls. So the Super Bowl is coming up. You know, it's very dear to a lot of Americans. But I think we sort of need to get a focus on priorities and what is important and what is not. I love football. Matter of fact, the Dallas Cowboys and the San Diego Chargers happen to choke again. And they have a big-time habit of choking. So, yeah, I love football. But the point I'm trying to make is that we are accustomed to going from event to event to event, and holiday to holiday to holiday, and from graduation to graduation to graduation, a birthday party to birthday party to birthday party, not realizing that life is short. And I'm not asking this to happen, but I can walk out the house tomorrow and get hit by a train. And it's the same thing I said about the Michael Jackson show. When I had a Michael Jackson show, is that people, we don't really think it's going to come to us. We never think that death is going to come to us, not in that way. And it's just amazing to me. Another thing that's amazing to me is that we think, I got a tape for y'all to listen to, or a clip for y'all to listen to. And we think abortion, we kind of like look the other way for abortion. But when there's a major incident in the world, we tear up. Now, I'm going to let you listen to these guys and let you listen to these individuals cry for a couple trees, and we'll be back.
Don't want you to know that, please.
I think we are deeply hurting in America. I think we are deeply craving answers. I think that we've lost our identity as we have evolved into technology and into industrialized society. Bring me to this cathedral. Bring me to those guys. Bring me to this rock that has the most incredible life. That makes me feel alive.
So she's got a point there as far as losing our sense, but this lady is losing her mind. She's actually, if you heard her, I got some more clips up here. They're actually emotionally crying for trees. They are called tree criers. Listen to this guy.
Why? Oh, God. I'm sorry.
I mean, it just doesn't make sense to me. It's like people don't even know that we couldn't even be alive without a tree.
Deep in the woods of North Carolina, an extremist eco-group called Earth First bewails violation of American nature.
I want to mourn the loss of all the old growth trees I see.
Now, there are enough trees I see going down the highway. And there are many babies crying out from their mom's womb for help, and no one's there to help them. But these tree people, and you heard the first lady talk about what's important, what's not. Well, I hope she finds out what's important. We need to communicate with those babies by bringing them out. We need not to compare a human being to a baby. A human being to a tree. With that being said, what did they change? What did they wake up to? Because we talk about women's right to choose, and I'm not going to even touch that subject, but I'm going to dance around that tonight. But the women's right to choose, people look at that and saying, well, the women, well, we're taking their rights away. Well, we are also taking the baby's rights away to choose. How are you going to worry about killing something that gives life source and still kill the one that the tree is supposed to give life source to? It's like you have butt backwards. Okay? And I'm not going to stand around and say that saving trees is our key priority. As long as you don't go, Smokey the Bear is doing his job. Because if Smokey the Bear don't do his job, there's going to be a lot of trees getting burnt up anyway. So let Smokey do his job and let's stay away from the tree crying and all this stuff, and let's stop living double standards and watching Hades and then turn around and not care about the babies. Okay? We're going to take a break and we'll be right back.
Connecting the dots and showing you why we are more vulnerable than ever.
Greetings, fellow Americans. This is David Robertson, inviting you to come be a part of an American Warning Radio, Monday through Friday, 1 to 3 p.m. Central.
You've seen the pieces. Now, come see the bigger picture, an American Warning Radio, with your host, David Robertson, on this and many other networks that value liberty.
All they're getting is mainstream media stuff. That's all they're getting, including Fox News.
The American Warning Program with David Robertson, just just a great show. All kidding aside, the numbers are really starting to go up on that program, and I think once people realize that that's on now live Monday through Friday, 1 o'clock to 3 o'clock on this very station, you're going to be tuning in a lot more. That guy makes a lot of sense, and he's really good at what he does. And
warning, America. Warning, America's habit forming. Santa's habit forming. Use the truth carefully.
Get more information at anamericanwarning.com. That's anamericanwarning.com.
Welcome to my
our future, and host Phil Armstrong examines what the scripture tells of his coming every Thursday and Sunday at 7 on the Prophecy Zone. What is the New World Order?
The people who are talking about the New World Order, Bible prophecy, may be in danger.
What do you need to be rapture ready?
I believe that the Bible interprets the Bible, and we have to stick with the Bible.
How much time is left?
See more at theprophecyzone.com and youtube.com/prophecyzone. Hear more here on Blog Talk Radio every Thursday and Sunday at 7 on The Prophecy Zone.
Who is the Antichrist? I believe the Antichrist will not be known until the tribulation period starts.
This is The Prophecy Zone.
Blog Talk Radio.
Of intended warfare by the British Empire, which
Egypt is already turning Europe into a mere colony of the British Empire through the program of the Lisbon Treaty. If the Lisbon Treaty were adopted and is being pushed for adoption now, there would not be a single nation on the continent of Europe, west of Belarus and Russia, which has any sovereignty whatsoever. The British Empire would control the entirety of that region of Europe, from Portugal to the borders of Belarus and Russia, as a puppet of the Anglo-Dutch liberal financial interests. It is those interests represented in the United States for a long time, have taken over control of the U.S. dollar, control of the United States. Now they're moving in for the kill. The same cartel that put Mussolini into power in Italy, the same cartel that put Hitler into power in Germany. And we're now at the brink of something like a Hitler power taking over the United States. If they grab the United States, then they will grab all of Europe under the Lisbon Treaty. If they control the United States and part of Europe under the Lisbon Treaty, then you will have an actual fighting war emerging on this planet. You will have dictatorship. You will have mass starvation. The elimination of whole sections of the population of parts of the world through starvation. And that's part of the British program. It's the food war. That's the situation. We're not dealing with an election. We're dealing with whether there is in the United States, in the top layers of society, the moral fitness to survive. And so far, the vote is in the leadership of the Democratic Party and the Republican Party. Neither is morally fit to survive. They're as unmorally fit to survive as the people who backed Mussolini and backed Hitler back in the 1920s and 1930s. And if we allow this to happen, we will get the same kind of treatment that the victims of Mussolini, Hitler, and so forth suffered. That's what he said. We have to win this war against that evil empire.
Anybody's out there actually listening and wonder what the heck just happened, I had to revert back to older show because I'm having technical difficulties like always. And I hate to complain on each show, but I guarantee if it's not the devil, I don't know what it is. But on every show, I either when I'm and I didn't mean to. I apologize to ZNM. I hit the wrong button. I was going to talk to you, whisper to you, and I hit the wrong button, so I apologize to you. I did not kick you out the chat room because I didn't like what you were saying. I'm going to tell you right now, everybody out there, just listen up. Archive people, live people, and I don't really have that many live, and I'm glad I don't, really. This is how I know either I'm doing God's will or it's not blessed by God. But the thing is, I'll explain both. If I'm not doing God's will and I'm not blessed by God, then nothing does not have to turn out right, and I'll buy it. I'll take it. But here's the reason why I think I'm blessed by God and the devil tries to discourage me. It's because every time I start a radio program, something happens, unless it's just poor planning. And today, I was ahead of the game. And then I get online, I'm pretty sure some people out there are having the same problem, Skype. Now, Skype, like, because I haven't done a show for a while. The last time I did Skype, like, 2 weeks ago, or program 2 weeks ago, probably even, actually, yeah, I did it by phone yesterday, but Skype gave me problems. Didn't give me problems, but the last time I was able to get into Skype and dial the number, and I don't know, maybe something's changed where I got on here and I'm trying to do a show. I had everything set up, got commercials, got this, got that. And that's why I have not had a guest host star, a guest person on the show yet. Because if I don't learn how to hook everything through the phone, I'm never going to be able to do anything. Because evidently I can still use Blog Talk Radio's files, but I'm going to have to go to the phone. There's no way around it. Because there's too many problems. There's just too many problems. I'm just going to have to revert to the phone. And enough said about that, but I am playing an older show, and I'm sorry, and I probably won't get as many archive and maybe even live. The most people I had live was 21 people, but I really don't plan. I really don't advertise or anything like that. Today was the first time I've ever advertised anything, and that's fine. I'm okay with not getting as many people on today for various reasons, especially the technical difficulties. So with that being said, and another thing that's happening to all my computers is they're going haywire. It's like Y2K up in here. So I'm going to get things together. We're going to have another show on Thursday, and I'm praying that things will turn out better than they are. But like I was talking about, as far as abortion is concerned, we as Americans need to pray for the people in Haiti, and I'm praying for the people in Haiti, and I really admire the American people for helping their fellow neighbors, and I'm really just admiring that, because a lot of times people, after Christmas, people are scot out broke. And I always believe that, I mean, especially now, send people $10 instead of nothing. It's better than nothing. And $10 sent by a million people is a lot of money. And we got to keep that in mind. We got to deeply keep that in mind. So I'm going to go ahead and let y'all listen to this tape, and I'm going to try to get things in order here, and maybe I can come back and talk.
Today, I'm going to be talking mostly about abortion, but I'm also going to be talking about the things that are going on as far as Bible prophecy is concerned. We are on the verge of another 9/11. We don't know, we don't pretend to know what's going on. As far as we hope, no, or we pray that nothing happens in this country or any other country. However, mankind seems to go into various cycles, especially in the United States. We go from one thing to the next. You know, this, I can even leave off the Kennedy administration. We always had, even when he was assassinated, we always have every, like, 5 years something major happens, but every 10 years something really major always happens. And every 20 years, something greatly happens. As far as the United States is concerned, we have been blessed not to have any invading armies invade our territory. I mean, if you don't call that blessed, I don't know what you're going to call blessed.
country that if you look at all the other past superpowers, or if you want to call it superpowers, empires, from Babylonian Empire to Medo-Persian Empire to Greece to Rome, the great empires, Alexander the Great, of course, even Genghis Khan, those empires are nowhere near the United States when it comes to its citizens being free. Now, the reason why I'm bringing this up is because we're so free that sooner or later it's going to be the nail that breaks the camel's back. You say, what do you mean? Well, Thomas Jefferson said it, and I'm pretty sure it was him. He said, I should have looked it up before my show came on, but he said, now I don't know, let me see if I can get this right. He said, give the people what they want, and when you stop giving them what they want, they're going to vote you out of office, vote someone into office that will give them what they want and recycle this way of life over and over again until the treasury is fully broke. Of course, emphasis is mine all over the place. But normally, I brought it down to common English. So what happens is when the system begins to give, when the government begins to fix, becomes what is called God, and when the government gets bigger and bigger and bigger, and the government gets out of control, the people will vote in or take out of office the person that they already voted in and put somebody in office that will continue to give them more. It cracked me up when I look at Vladimir Zhirinovsky, not Vladimir Putin, Vladimir Zhirinovsky, sort of a madman in Russia. He wrote a book called A Dash to the South. And if you read the book of Ezekiel 38 and 39, it's exactly to the T. That's why a lot of Bible-believing Christians, prophecy buffs, thought that Vladimir Zhirinovsky will come to power. But he never did. But another Vladimir did. But the definition of Vladimir is madman. So we got a Vladimir in there. His name's Vladimir Zhirinovsky. Well, anyway, he was trying to give the public vodka and all kinds of whiskey and buy their vote. Evidently, obviously, it didn't work. But to prove Thomas Jefferson's point, it's all over the place. Okay? But the thing is, though, even if we were taxpayers and we didn't, you know, the government didn't print money out of thin air, the system will be able to work, actually, to help people. Now, how far is the system supposed to go before they call it a socialist system? Okay, so I'm getting off the track what I actually want to talk about. The Word of God talks about, now I'm talking about abortion, if everybody want to know what I'm talking about, talks about in Mark chapter 10, verse 14, it says, but when Jesus saw it, of course, I'm back up actually, I'm going to talk about in verse 13, it says, and they brought young children to him that he should touch them, and his disciples rebuked those that brought the little kids. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said unto them, the disciples, suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall not inherit the kingdom of God, of course, therein. Okay, so.
Okay, that was a show back in September, did I say? And I was talking about abortion. I was
back there, and I was saying ums and ums and and I am a slow explainer, and I do use that type of, and I'm doing it now, language, slow language. I used to make fun of the football players, like, you know, and you know, I used to make fun of football players who said that. And once I got on the radio, I say, man, if you don't have nothing to say, or if you have a special way of presenting it, then you're going to do that. And what I'm trying to get out of now is to stop saying as many ums and yeah and, you know, things like that. So it's getting me a little bit more exercise as I get more radio programs down. But at the rate I'm going, I don't know, and I hate saying that there's a devil around every corner. And I give my glory to the Lord Jesus Christ, that he's all-powerful, all-knowing, omnipotent, omnipresent, he's everything. And God is in all things, regardless of what people probably say, where was God during the earthquake? Well, you know, I really was feeling like tearing up, and I'm not just saying this just because, you know, I'm trying to get Bonnie points, because I only got a few people listening right now. And trust me, once again, I am happy that I only got a few people listening, because I've never had, this is the worst preparation for a show I've ever had, or disaster. I mean, this thing was, I thought it was going to turn out pretty fine. I had everything going, and then Skype would not work. I'm like, now, I can see if I had it on the technical difficulty on my side, but Skype. The last time I did a radio program was like 2 weeks ago, a little bit less than 2 weeks ago. No, actually, the last time before last night, I did a radio program, and it turned out pretty good. But I did it on Skype. And I don't know what Skype is asking for now. And that really gets me upset that it just did that. But people in Haiti are supposed to be worshippers of voodoo, and I don't believe we should bring any of this stuff up now. It's like Michael Jackson. When Michael Jackson died, man, they were just blasting Michael. I mean, they were saying this and this. I mean, give the dude 6 months. And I'm so happy right now, because a lot of people just let Michael Jackson go into the, you know, clear. I mean, not clear, but you know what I mean. Where people are not really, unless I haven't been watching the news, people sort of, you know, forgiving Michael Jackson, and that's good. And even the media, I mean, I don't hear the media saying anything bad about him. And I'm glad that they let him, you know, rest in peace, or rest in whatever he's resting in, according to our side. And that's good that they're leaving the guy alone. But sort of like here in Haiti, Pat Roberts said, oh, that's the act of God. Every year he comes out and says the sky will fall, and it never falls. I'm going to make a prediction. The world will have nuclear war tomorrow. And then he comes back on tomorrow. Anyway, I'm like, geez. I mean, I've made some predictions before, and they are wrong. And I don't say God, thus says the Lord. God spoke to me and told me these things. No, I'm too scared to. Look at the Old Testament prophets, and you tell me if I should say, I'm not a prophet. I'm a watchman on the wall. And he even warned the watchman that my blood can be on my hands if I don't warn y'all. Okay? So the Haitians need prayer. We need to pray for the American workers over there, even the UN workers, even though I don't like UN. Peacekeepers from all different countries. I guess it's bad out over there, because I'm realizing how bad it was before the earthquake with the youth, with the young people. They were stranded young kids then, orphans then. Imagine there's millions of more orphans now. So there's millions of people that's displaced. And that judgment, now I'm going to say judgment for this court, if that was George's judgment, which it probably was, and God only knows, that. But I truly know, I might not know that, but I know judgment is headed to the United States for particularly one reason is abortion. He said, well, God has showed out since abortion was started in the 1970s. He's still holding out for us. He must like us. The United States is filled with more missionaries than any country ever. We've sent more missionaries out than any country ever through the airwaves, through the radio, through the preaching of the gospel. America has, and prayer. Well, I'm going to back up. Prayer, then the preaching of the gospel through the Holy Ghost. Which and the Bible says, if we lift up Jesus, you draw all men to himself. If he be lifted up, I draw all men to myself. So we, and he's blessed this country in the meanwhile. But what gets me is overconfidence. A lot of people believe that, people already believe that we can get to heaven just by looking good and having a nice car, by actually being rich, but having a nice car outside and being a good person. But if that was the case, then Jesus wouldn't have to come and die on the cross for anybody. And I know I probably upset some people in my last show, but and maybe, you know, we have to point these things out, man. There's a lot of people who are out in the limelight that are evangelists and preachers on TBN and all these other channels who are not preaching the gospel, the true gospel, the correct gospel. But I'm going to continue on with this. I know we're going to continue on and help you enjoy.
Oh, that talks about meekness. A child is teachable and meekness. Now, that's not the point I want to make. The point is that Jesus is asking to not defraud the kids to be able to come unto me. Okay? And that's why, Jeremiah, when Jeremiah was commissioned, in chapter 1, it talks about Jeremiah, and chapter 1, verse 4, then the word came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in thy belly, I knew thee. And before thou comest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Now, what God is saying to Jeremiah was saying, I'm young, so why would I have to go out and preach? Well, God is saying, before you were in your mother's womb, I knew you. So God is not only taking it to the fetus, he's not only taking it to the egg, but God himself is saying that even before you were born. So what does that tell you right now? So not only God, I'm going backwards sort of, but the verse I just read to y'all, Mark 14, or 10:14, says, don't call the kids not to come to me, tell them to come to me, for such is the kingdom of God. Okay, so abortion, you can trick yourself all you want and use magic tricks and call good evil and evil good, but abortion is aborted murder. And I always use simple analogy. Nobody actually seems to get it. Why would you have a bridal shower for nothing? I mean, it seems to insult my intelligence, what little I have, and it seems to insult everybody else's in the whole country's intelligence. If a mom decides she wants to have a baby shower for nothing,
Because that's just evidently what the abortionists are telling me, that the baby is not a baby. I mean, to me, I look at, and I'm not calling anybody names, and I'm not saying anything bad about them, but I am. Actually, yeah, I am. Now, this might not make sense to y'all, but I'm going to read Psalms. And I'm not saying because you don't read the Bible, you're a fool. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying, okay, let me just go ahead and read this. Okay, Psalm 14, verse 1. The fool is said in their heart. I'm just going to stop there. Now, Jeremiah just said, God just said to Jeremiah, before you were in your mother's womb, I knew you. So what you first have to do is say to yourself, there is no God. Then that relinquishes all accountability towards God. Well, you say, well, I'm going to get to a lot of Christians being, there's a lot of Democratic people who are serving the Lord, but they voted for Obama and Bill Clinton, but I'm gonna set the record straight for you. Okay, I'm not a Democrat or Republican. I'm a believer of Jesus Christ, but I'm also an independent. Now here's the deal with this. Now you guys get on, and I'm not saying that they're right either. I'm not saying Bill Clinton and President Obama is right. I'm saying they're fully wrong, especially when you go into China trying to finance China abortions. Well, what's wrong with you, man? You gotta be a real vicious person to want to do that. But anyway, let's look at George Bush. God says, if their heart, their mouth speak of me, but their hearts are far from me. Okay, when a Republican says we are pro abortion against abortion, but do nothing about abortion, is that good? Is that worse? Isn't that kind of worse? To me, that's worse than saying you for abortion and still, you know, you're for abortion. He's saying George Bush and George Bush Sr. and Ronald Reagan. Now, I don't know what the implications will be if they say they just signed an executive order, no more abortions. But a woman's right to choose is very, very, very sacred to a woman. Now, and I'm just as wrong as everybody else, so don't take this the wrong way, but I wish Eve would have choose right when she was in the garden. Of course, we'd still be in this mess anyway, because Adam would have found out a way to do it, or at least, Eve was taking leadership a long time ago. Some of women are the smartest people I've met in the world, because women have a sense of, they have a great, what is it? Men are hard sometimes, and then women are more compassionate. But these days, you see a brother crying over a woman quicker than you would a woman crying over a man, and that's hilarious because I guess they've been treated wrong for so long. But I'm all off subject. So my point is that I'm going to continue. I want to read something to y'all. And I'm a slow reader. I'm like, especially at this time of night, my brain is like illiterate. So just bear with me. But it says, why God's judgment is upon America. Okay. It says, according to recent reports published by Paul Scott syndicated column, 1,200,000 abortions took place in the United States last year. Even more shocking is the information that the government financed between 222,000 and 278,000 of these abortions. And that's a lot of abortions. Now, I think if you had kids, wouldn't the economy sort of run a little, I mean, what's the point of the globalists trying to kill off that many people? I think the globalists are sick. You say, why are you jumping to the globalists? Well, abortion is population control, whether you like it or not. Okay, and they're also trying to kill us with all these foods. They got aspartame and a diet soda, and I told, don't tell me that's retarded. I'm proving fact. When I drink diet soda, you know, doctor, my arm hurts when it does like that. Well, don't do like that then. I mean, of course I shouldn't be drinking it, you know. And I slow down a lot. Actually, down to zero almost. I'm drinking Diet Right right now, and it don't have any aspartame in it. Actually, has Splenda. Splenda might even kill me. I haven't found out about that, but if you got to eat something, I can almost come up here and justify not eating anything. Just be like one of those ladies that hide in a room and throw up all day. Forgive me, guys. I apologize to anybody out there who does that. I pray for you. Anyway, continuing this article. These figures were furnished by the Department of Health, Education, and Welfare, Pew, for the Senate House conferred, whatever that means, considered a Pew Labor Department $330 billion appropriations bill. Other government experts estimate that the government paid for 300,000 of these abortions. The cost of government-financed abortion amounted to between $40 and $50 million. So the government spent $40 to $50 million killing babies. Woo-hoo! Had it not been for an anti-abortion amendment tacked onto the Pew Appropriations Bill by three courteous senators, this information would never have come to light. Now, don't forget that the Word of God says that all things that are in the dark will surface to the light sooner or later. And that goes for me and you, and even good things will surface if nobody's watching you and you don't get any credit for doing something good. Senator Barkley, I don't even know what I'm saying about him, there's three senators. Senators Barkley, and Helms were, of course, helped by different right to life groups. Okay. So we got some senators who are trying to help out, very few, because some of those senators and congressmen don't have a backbone, and they're going to have to follow the herd anyway. Is this the greatest crime in history? Some might not think so, but I maintain that this may be one of the greatest crimes in the annals of human history. This may be the crime so dark, a sin so black, that nothing can stand the hand of God's righteous judgment upon America. Cain slew his brother Abel, but Abel was only one man, and as an adult, we presume that he had the power to defend himself. Okay. We've been killing each other from the beginning. Now, in Genesis, after the flood, God talked to Noah and made a covenant with Noah. But he told him to go out and repurpose the earth, subdue it and multiply. But he also said that you will not be killing, or if a man kills another man, his blood is required of him. Now, capital punishment, people make a big deal of capital punishment, but abortion seems to be just a
long as we can't see it. It's kind of retarded, isn't it? Now, I bet you the the dude on death row just kind of like, I'm invisible now, so I can guess I can get off and go home and until y'all find a cure for me being invisible, I guess I won't be on death row no more. Or should we say we're gonna kill him? Because we can't see him. That's what they're doing with the babies. They're killing them because it's like we're playing, oh, I don't see it. My eyes like them acorn ladies. Oh, I don't see it. What are you going to tell us that for? We don't see them acorn ladies. I call them acorn heads. So you're going to bring 13-year-old kid? Oh, we don't want to hear it. You don't have to tell us all of that. You don't have to tell us all of that. No conscience at all. None. Okay. I told y'all I was going to be kind of, I'll sit up here and read. I don't know if I'm just tired or, and I'm like, oh my goodness gracious, I'm either illiterate. I got a 3.8 in English this semester, and I can read the Bible at night time. I can read the Bible pretty late. But I was like struggling to read that article, but I read it in its entirety. It's a pretty good article. It says, Americans have many false gods. However, we believe that one of America's chief gods is love. Young people are being told, do your own thing, and they are doing it. In our schools, churches, and homes,
the
morality are out. And that is true. You ever heard somebody say, well, what's right to me is maybe not right to you, but what's right to you might be right. Who's on first? It says, now it is the situation ethics or worse. Books, magazines, movies, and television are almost completely given over to the promotion of God, the God of love. Every time I'm walking in a store, I look to the right, look to the left, no matter where I'm at, it's some form of nudity or something vulgar that I have to walk by. Especially I was at the bookstore today. And that was the case. Now, the reason why I'm bringing it is God, America's God is lust. Now, the lust of the flesh also has something to do with, to me, selfish ambition. You say, well, what are you talking about? Well, a part of abortion is that the lady wants, she's not ready yet. I'm not financially ready, or I'm not mentally ready, or I'm still young. I have my life ahead of me. So she can go and carry it out on her own desires. She wants to continue with the same thing that got her in the position of having a baby in the first place. Sooner or later, you're going to end up having a baby. And woe to the girl who has many abortions, because I pray for you, and I pray for people out there, that we can end up having complications in your pregnancies. The human sacrifice to gods. Biblical and scholar histories contain many accounts of pagan people sacrificing their children to the gods. In the worship of Baal, this sacrifice was called pass through the fire. Some of the kings of Israel offered their own sons in this matter, 2 Kings 16:3 and 21:6. The book of Jeremiah contains a striking combination of the awful practices. Hear ye the word of the Lord. This is Jeremiah 19:3 and 8. It says, hear ye the word of the Lord, O kings of Judah, the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Blessed is the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel. Behold, I will bring evil upon this place, the which whoever hear his ears shall tingle, because they have forsaken me, and have estranged this place, and have burned incense and into the other gods, whom neither they
or their fathers have known. Sound like the Antichrist, but it's not him. Nor the kings of Judah, and have filled this place with in blood of innocence. They have built and also the high places of Baal to burn their sons with fire for burnt offerings unto Baal, which I commanded not, nor spoke it, neither came it into my mind. Okay, so people are offering, they were all back there offering their babies into sacrifice. This time we're in the sacrifice of leisure, the sacrifice of finance, you know. It says, the chickens are coming home to roost. At long last, the proverbial chickens are coming home to roost. Remember Malcolm X said that? Because the abortion and many other sins against God, this nation is being to reap what it is sown, especially in the economy. It says the righteous is all of a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Righteousness does exalt a nation. It really does. If you have, like even with my life, if I have good financial practices, and the Bible says a wise man saves. Okay, so if I'm saving and I'm not borrowing, what did it say? That we should be the head, not the tail? Then you're financially okay. If you honor your wife as Christ for the church and you have good finances, what does that tell you? There's a good chance you're going to be married for a while, right? What about AIDS? If you wait until you marry and you don't live together, the Bible says a man should have one wife, even a preacher, then what? Okay. So we have to look at abortion as a crutch. But now, do we judge? I mean, seriously, do we go and just say, woman, you're crazy, you need to be, you know, we don't do that. What we do is, especially a younger girl, I say we take care of the baby. I'm scared to death of what I just said, really. I got a 12-year-old daughter upstairs watching TV. She still suck her thumb. She was sucking her thumb in the womb. So she's still sucking her thumb. And we tell her, Zane, I can walk right by her. I go upstairs and get something to drink, walk right by her. Zane, quit sucking her thumb. And it's like, I have to remember, hey, this baby girl, you know, she... And we raise our kids up the way they should go in Jesus. And we, because I used to be, don't ask me why I'm talking like this right now, but I used to be really firm with my kids, and now I'm realizing too much firmness doesn't, you have to kind of live, like be a cross between James Evans and on Good Times and Leave It to Beaver's dad. You have to be a cross between both of them, meet them right down the center, because if you don't, they're going to go out and get pregnant. And then you're going to have to, you know, I'm not getting an abortion. I'm sorry, not even with my daughter. She's my stepdaughter, though, but I love her with my heart. So, you know, I just teach her to wait until she's married. And if she doesn't, then hopefully she learns that not go out and have another one. But we're going to raise them up, you know, the way they should go. And hopefully they'll, you know, follow. But I'm not going to force my kids to go to church. You better go to church. Well, up until about 18, they can call their, you know, as long as they don't come up in my house acting crazy. You know, especially the son. My son, my oldest son, 14 years old, you go out there, you get a girl pregnant, you're going to take care of them. I say, what's the difference between the son and the daughter? I still ain't put my finger on it yet. I think. See, I'm taking care of his dad's son, which is still my son, but I'm taking. His dad is not giving any child support. men having these kids and they're not taking care of them. That's a nationwide big thing. And then they say, the black man, what are we going to do, the plight of the black man? But first, stop.
Okay, that was me back in September. I seem to have the same views as I had back there. So I ain't changed yet. I'm still deeply against abortion. And I can't, matter of fact, I can't stand it. But we'll be back in a minute.
Join me, Phil Armstrong, in the Prophecy Zone on Blog Talk Radio every Sunday and Saturday at 7 o'clock as we talk about end-time prophecy in line with the second coming of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Join me, Phil Armstrong, on Blog Talk Radio as we discuss end-time events in line of Jesus Christ's second coming, earthquakes, pestilence, the mark of the beast technology, the Antichrist, the false prophet, the dividing of Jerusalem, and much more. Join us for our action-packed information that will keep you informed so you can be ready for the soon coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Once again, join us on Blog Talk Radio.
Says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. You're listening to the Prophecy Zone on Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, we're back. I'm going to go ahead and just go ahead and talk for a little bit and let y'all know where the show is going right quick, and then I'll get to the last couple subjects and where we'll be going. But I'm going to probably say a lot of things that offend people on the show, but I'm going to use tact. I'm not going to come out and judge anyone in the matter that is in the seat of God. But I am going to say some things that will get some people rattled. For instance, the TBN owner, Paul Crouch, had mentioned that, and he said it in these words, he says, "We don't need that Dr. No Doodle. I can't stand," or he didn't say this, I'm just expressing how I think what he meant. Let's translate. This is the translation. "I can't stand doctrine. I want to do my own thing." He kind of like sound like Nixon when he was doing it. "I'm not a crook. You know, I can't stand doctrine." Well, let me tell you, that's why you can't be corrected or reproved, because you don't like doctrine. We need to have doctrine in our lives. And another thing I want to bring up is my past church. I had met some, saw some of the old brothers and sisters, the married couple and their son today at Walmart. And they asked me why I left that church. And instead of telling the reason, one of the reasons why, which is, and I'm not going to go into that, I had told them about the doctrine. We was sitting in a meeting at the church, at that church, and one of the preachers had said that, "You guys know we are Christ." And I'm like, "Okay, we are of Christ. Yeah, yeah, yeah." Everybody's like looking around. "Yeah, yeah, yeah." And he's like, "No, we are Christ." Now, if you look at Matthew 24, it says, "And many shall come in my name saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many." In the church world, there's already premeditated theology that we are Christ. And like I said, I'm going to really tick off some people probably out there, and God bless you, and I'll be praying for you. But I'm going to bring some video, audio on to the program that lets you hear the actual person. And if you need more evidence, I'll just point you on my online to the correct videos on YouTube. And no, they're not doctored up. Or no, it's not a 10-year-old boy dressed up like Benny Hinn. It's actually him. Or listen to D.D. Jakes, Jesus is the merchandise. Jesus is the merchandise. Why would I, in his translation, I'm breaking up 2 Peter chapter 3. Jesus is the merchandise. I don't know if that's where it's at, but it's somewhere in Peter. Talking about they shall make merchandise of you. I can sit here all day telling you guys stuff that these people have said. And I'm going to tell you some of the people that I actually still like. And that might rattle some people's fence, too. I like some of these people. I like Joyce Myers, but she does kind of worry me at times. And I'm not saying I'm following her or reading any of her books. But there was one book that she did write that I enjoyed, and it's The Battle of the Mind. And I think today God used her. And I'm not saying she's not saved or nothing like that, but God used her in a mighty way with that book, for me at least, because I realized that the battle, spiritual battle, is from the mind. And can you imagine, if you look at your head and just kind of use imagination, imagine a whole bunch of soldiers. You know, back in the years when Alexander the Great used to fight in these big, or 300, when these people are fighting each other. Imagine warriors fighting up there, and God versus devil. But it's true. What you let land on your head is probably what you are. What you just like eating. What a man eateth, so is he. So if you and I'm just making this up. That's my quote. If you eat junk food, you're probably going to be tired and sluggish. If you eat fruits and vegetables, you're probably going to be fast. The better football players, probably the ones who eat lots of fruits and vegetables and take care of themselves. And if they do eat meat, it's lean. But then they do turn around and eat big, bulky stuff to get them big. Well, you are what you think. So if you sit in front of a television set all day, that's what you are, believe it or not. And people don't seem to understand that. Like my daughter, she's watching this criminal show, and you can always say to me that it's an innocent thing. It's fine. You can let your daughter watch that. I actually let her watch it. But if you want to fill your head full of garbage, garbage in. Sometimes garbage don't come out. Garbage stays in. Especially for young boys. There's millions of people, if not billions, who are suffering from, and I'm forgive me, women, ladies out there, and it's probably ladies suffering too from masturbation. You say, well, that's suffering, like you act like it's cancer. When that thing gets a hold of you, some people just enjoy it all the way through. And I'm asking, please, just listen to me when I say this. And then some people it makes their life miserable because they're out of God's lane. They're out of God's realm. God has prepared our lives for marriage. Now, the girlfriend and boyfriend thing, I think people go numb with that. But when you start looking for like pornography and you start performing these acts, you become miserable. Plus, he added in all the other child things and all the things that a 14, 15, 16, 17-year-old will face, and you become miserable. Now, there's a married man doing this. And here's the thing for you before I go off. One of my churches, and I pray that nobody is offended, and if you are, I apologize, but one of my churches has said, had told me, I went to church in Oklahoma when I was in the military, told me that you can masturbate and be good. I mean, you're not breaking any of God's commandments. But I'm like, okay, Where did y'all get this from? And I remember just talking to one of the brothers, and they were not really fussing with him, but we were sort of like in a low-key temperamental discussion about masturbation. And I'm like, the pastor told you you can do that? Okay. So not only do we have problems in our theology, but we also have a problem, that's theology too, but we also have problems in other areas, not just in the realm of, eschatology and Christology and all this other stuff. We're having problems with the normal actions. Can we do this or can we do that? If you have a question about it, you probably shouldn't do it. Because a lot of people are trying to toy with Christianity today. The lukewarm church is trying to toy with it. Can I drink? Can I not drink? To be or not to be, that is the question. Should I drink or should I not drink? Can pick me up, please. Help me up. I'm throwing all up all over the place. Hey, the Bible also says, it never said you can't drink. Never said it. But how would a football player do if Brent Favre take a sip before a game? I mean, he might throw 500 touchdowns, but the chances is that the average person will puke all over the place. How about surgery? Let me take a swig before I go to surgery. Or in the courtroom, let me take a swig. Let me take some vodka before I go and defend this person, O.J. Simpson, which he probably would have. I wish somebody would have got drunk and got him guilty because, well, that's beside the point. We, as Americans, are bombarded by entertainment and computers and television and all these things. And all these things are sending us down the wrong path to judgment. And, I will be that sensitive to tell you that the response to the Church of Laodicea is, you're rich and you need of nothing. You don't need me. That's what God is saying. You don't need me. You're rich. You got your lotion from, I'm just kidding. You don't need me. You don't need me. You don't need anything from me. But what people really, truly don't understand is we need strength from God. We need power to walk in his ways. We need strength to be freed from bondages that easily beset us. And we need to run this race. And we cannot afford to be living like everybody else. Because if we continue to live like everybody else, we're going to get what everybody else is getting. Okay? And God is not mocked. What a man soweth, so shall he reap. That includes me. And if I think I can dance with the devil and drink beers and look at pornography, and I pray that God watches over me even when I walk away, because the devil will kick my tail if I don't have closeness with the Lord. Because when it seems like when you talk about it, you ease up, the devil comes in and kicks your tail. Now getting back to the TBN people, when they say, smash the devil, smash him, kick his tail, crush his head, and all this other stuff. Well, it comes to my attention that even Michael the archangel, while fighting, he never made an accusation against the devil, but he said, the Lord rebuke you. So, he is not saying any accusation against the devil. That is not his territory. That is not his place. We overcome the world even by our faith. Faith in who? Jesus Christ. Now, let me tell you some more stuff that these people said. I have so much stuff in my mind. It's ridiculous. Faith is a force. Faith is a force. And when we speak those words into existence, God has no choice but to do this. God has all the choice in the world. He is amazingly bigger than you are. And he's going to pop you like a pimple. Matter of fact, if God is everywhere in the universe, it's gazillions or billions or gazillions of miles away, and you're just a little bitty man, how dare you? How dare you? Do you know the biggest loser in the Bible is, the biggest loser is God? Kenneth Copeland. Biggest loser is God. I got all the videos for y'all to hear. Y'all don't believe me. And most people are going to cut it off because they don't want to hear it. But if you just suffer through, you might get some reality. And if you don't want to leave your church for 20 years and we get left behind, because that's what I'm going to be talking about too. A lot of people are going to get left behind because they're not willing to leave these churches who are preaching and telling you that we are Christ. Or teaching you lead by your words. Or teaching you that, God is going to bless you, and if you're not rich, and Judas had a money, but Jesus was rich. Jesus had all the money in the world. He just had Judas was handling his bag. Why do you think he had Judas? Blah, 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 blah. I'm serious. I might sound like an idiot right now, but if y'all heard some of the stuff these people say, Jesus was about 6 feet, God is about 6 feet high with a head span of like, what, 6 inches, and his hands are, I'm serious. One of the shows I'm going to do a series on false prophets, and I just got all kinds of, oh, let's do Oprah for you. Now, at least Oprah they get on Oprah for being, they get on Oprah for no, to me, I think Oprah is in the proper place, and I'm going to tell you why. Don't get mad at Oprah because she was a Christian a long time ago and then fell away. Get mad at these people who are on TV and saying, faith is a force. Jesus and Lucifer Lucifer was Jesus' attorney in heaven. And, you know, Jesus fulfilled the mission when he went down to hell and he fought Lucifer for the keys. It was finished down there. He paid the price down there. His little squirmy body, you know. But what they fail to realize is that Jesus said it was finished. On the cross, when he was on the cross, he said it was finished. He went down to the lower parts as a victor. He was victorious when he went down the lower parts. He didn't have to fight anything. Okay? And that's something we're going to have to learn. But we'll be back. We're going to take a little small break, and we'll be back.
Connecting the dots and showing you why we are more vulnerable than ever.
Greetings, fellow Americans. This is David Robertson, inviting you to come be a part of an American Warning Radio, Monday through Friday, 1 to 3 p.m. Central.
You've seen the pieces. Now, come see the bigger picture, an American Warning Radio, with your host, David Robertson, on this and many other networks that value liberty.
All they're getting is mainstream media stuff. That's all they're getting, including Fox News.
The American Warning Program with David Robertson, just a great show. All kidding aside, the numbers are really starting to go up on that program, and I think once people realize that that's on now live Monday through Friday at 1 o'clock to 3 o'clock on this very station, you're going to be tuning in a lot more. That guy makes a lot of sense, and he's really good at what he does.
Warning. America. Warning. America's habit forming. Santa's habit forming. Use the truth carefully.
Get more information at anamericanwarning.com. That's anamericanwarning.com.
Show.
listening to the prophecies on Blog Talk Radio.
Soon.
We are in the last days.
The Bible lays out our future, and host Phil Armstrong examines what the scripture tells of his coming every Thursday and Sunday at 7 on the Prophecy Zone. What is the New World Order?
The people who are talking about the New World Order, Bible prophecy, may be in danger.
What do you need to be rapture ready?
I believe that the Bible interprets the Bible, and we have to stick with the Bible.
How much time is left?
See more at theprophecyzone.com and youtube.com/prophecyzone. Hear more here on Blog Talk Radio every Thursday and Sunday at 7 on The Prophecy Zone.
Who is the Antichrist? I believe the Antichrist will not be known until the tribulation period starts.
This is The Prophecy Zone.
Yeah, once again, I apologize for the technical situation that I had. I thought Skype was going to work, and if you're not quick on it, I need more test shows or something, or more daily shows. I was going to do shows for 30 minutes. I think that's what I'm going to do. And on my 30-minute shows, what I'm going to do is go over the news and talk real quick and then stick with disciplines of keeping that going for 30 minutes only. And then on Thursdays and Sundays, not like the commercial says, Saturday and Sunday, but Thursdays and Sundays, I have a show for 2 to 3 hours, maybe once a month. I have one for 3 hours, and for the rest of the Tuesdays and Thursdays, I have one for 2 hours, and then we'll be talking about, we have guests on, and I'm praying that I won't have so much technical difficulties, because if it's not me and the computers, it's Skype. And I'm going to have to do some communicating with some people to find out why in the world Skype did not work for me. And then we go from there. But we got like 8 minutes left on the show. I hope whoever was out there listening to the show enjoyed it. It's not the best show in the world for right now, and hopefully I'll be polishing things up and get ready to go, and I'm probably going to upset some people, like I say, and I think that's the best for the show, because, and I'm not saying upsetting the people is best for the show, but I'm saying as far as me being able to say what I'm going to say without all the ums and worrying about if I'm going to say. Now, I am going to put myself in check as a Christian. I won't be saying anything like Imus. You know, and just ruin them. And Imus actually came back a little bit, but you can never take back the damage that he's done to his career. And Rush Limbaugh is able to say anything he wants practically and get away with it. But me, on the other hand, I'm just going to say what I got to say, but I'm going to say it with tech, and make sure I put a muzzle on my mouth if I say something stupid and try to climb out of it if I say something too stupid. Because I think people are listening, and they want you to be able to say something without all the ums and the buts, and make it sound like you got something to say. And I have too much to say. That's my problem. I have a lot to say. And I think I got kind of rattled when when that Skype didn't work, because the Skype, for people that don't know what Skype is, Skype is a way of getting your show done. It's a pipeline where your show comes in through, and I ask you, do you have a mic, or you have whatever you're going to talk through, and you talk through Skype. So when I called up Skype, it was giving me all kinds of problems because my other computer didn't have Skype, but it turns out that I don't know what they're doing. They're asking for credits. At first, you didn't have to have no credits or anything like that, so maybe it's just a technical difficulty for the night. So I'm going to have to solve that issue. But I want y'all to listen to young lady I always play most of the time, and she's going to talk about abortion, and we'll be back. I'm just going to play this one clip.
What if I told you that right now someone was choosing if you were going to live or die? What if I told you that this choice wasn't based on what you could or couldn't do, what you've done in the past, or what you would do in the future? And what if I told you you could do nothing about it? Fellow students and teachers, thousands of children are right now in that very situation. Someone is choosing, without even knowing them, whether they are going to live or die. That someone is their mother, and that choice is abortion. Every day, 115,000 children are dying through abortion. 115,000. That means that 5,000 children would die every hour. All those lives, gone. All that potential, gone. And all that hope and future, gone. Now, I know what some of you might be thinking. Oh, it's not really killing, after all, a fetus and a child. Right? Why do we think that just because a fetus can't talk or do what we do, it isn't a human being yet? The word fetus comes from the Latin word, meaning young one or young child. Some babies are born after only 5 months. Is this baby not human? We would never say that, yet abortions are performed on 5-month-old fetuses all the time. Or do we only call them humans if they're wanted? No, fetuses are definitely humans, knit together in their mother's womb by their wonderful creator, who knows them all by name. Some people might say that, since abortion's legal now, it doesn't matter.
Okay, I'm going to go ahead and play the second part.
But if an action is unjust, it needs to be illegal, and it has to be our business. And this particular law has a huge impact on our society. In 1997, over 1 million abortions took place just in the U.S. And just last year, over 42 million abortions happened worldwide. I'd say that's a huge impact. I know some people say that the mother has a right to abort. After all, her life is dramatically impacted by having a baby. But I'm asking you to think about the child's rights that were never given to it. No matter what rights the mother has, it doesn't mean we can deny the rights of the fetus. Talking about the mother's choice, the mother may have had a choice not to have unprotected sex in the first place. We must remember that with our rights and our choices come responsibilities, and we can't take someone else's rights away to avoid our responsibilities. At this point, I imagine the age-old question arises. What if the mother didn't choose to have sex? What if she was raped? But let's look at the facts for the U.S. as an example.
Okay, and let's listen to the last part.
1% of all American abortions are hard case categories. This includes rape, incest, and the life of the mother being in danger. 1%. That hardly justifies the disturbing volume of abortions that happen these days. And who's to say abortion is the easy way out? I don't think people understand the effects of abortion on a woman. I don't have time to list all the negative after effects, but here are a few examples of the physical effects. 17% of women who've had abortions face complications in their subsequent pregnancies. Some may not even be able to give birth at all. They are also at a greater risk of developing breast cancer if they have an abortion. But perhaps the worst effects are the emotional ones. Women who've had an abortion tend to have more mood disorders, substantial enough to provoke them to harm themselves. In addition, women who've had an abortion are 5 times more likely to have problems with drug and alcohol abuse. Abortion leaves a woman feeling lost and uncertain about their future. Almost 1/3 of all women who've had an abortion are dissatisfied with their decision.
Okay, that was abortion. That's something I wanted to play earlier in the show. But I wasn't able to get to it. We're going to take a break, and we're going to come back and end the program.
Join me, Phil Armstrong, on Blog Talk Radio as we discuss end-time events, the mind of Jesus Christ, second coming, earthquakes, pestilence, the mark of the beast technology, the Antichrist, the false prophet, the dividing of Jerusalem, and much more. Join us for our action-packed information that will keep you informed so you can be ready for the soon coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Once again, join us on Blog Talk Radio.
Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death." Once again, so God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. You're listening to the Prosperous Zone on Blog Talk Radio. God bless everybody out there. Stay tuned for the show on Thursdays and Sundays at 7 o'clock both days, and we're also going to be having a show for 30 minutes a day. God bless and have a wonderful day. God bless.